Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. Poland has elected an ultra-conservative president, Karol Nawrocki, who is set to thwart the liberal agenda of Prime Minister Donald Tusk. Tusk had been hoping to ease the country's strict abortion rules and carry out rule-of-law reforms. My guest today argues that the victory of Nawrocki, an admirer of US President Donald Trump, is another sign that an international reactionary movement is taking shape. Manon Aubry is co-chair of the Left Group in the European Parliament, and she's been to Poland to support women's reproductive freedoms. Now, she's a member of the France Unbowed Party, which was part of the left-wing bloc, the New Popular Front, that won the largest share of the vote in the French parliamentary election a year ago. We're going to talk about European issues and, of course, touch on the situation in France as well. Manon Aubry, welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much.
So you said in a tweet that you're actually going back to Poland to distribute contraceptive pills, and I believe you're also planning to attend Budapest Pride at the end of this month, which is officially banned, but it's still going ahead, apparently.
Yes. One word on Poland, maybe first, because, you know, I have to tell you a story. I had on the phone this week Natalia. Natalia, she is one of the feminist activists that created the first ever abortion center since abortion was banned in Poland, in Warsaw. And they're trying to help young women to actually access to abortion despite it being illegal in Poland. And she told me this week, I'm scared. I'm scared because, you know, every single day we're targeted by the far right. I'm scared because my country is, you know, deciding for women what they should do with their own body. I'm scared because we're moving back decades back. You know, there was a time during which, you know, French women were going to Poland to get abortion. And now it's the other way around. And I want to tell to Natalia and all the other feminist activists in Poland, we're together with you. We're going to keep helping you. I'm going to be back in Poland early July. I'm going to bring back abortion pills. I'm going to keep fighting to get abortion in the EU fundamental, in the EU Charter for Fundamental Rights. Mm. Because that right, you know, we're in 2025. How come we're still fighting for that very simple right of abortion? So it's going to be a tough fight. But it's a tough fight in Poland. It's a tough fight as well in Hungary, you've been mentioning. Hungary is also a country where abortion rights is very, very limited, where they attack LGBTI rights. And yeah, I will be going to the Pride on the 20th of June because Orbán is attacking systematically LGBTI rights and we need to be there to defend them.
One related piece of work that you're doing on this whole issue is what is known as conversion therapy. This is to, quote, cure, unquote, LGBTI people. And there's no binding legal framework across the EU. That's something that you want to achieve.
Exactly. I've been supporting a citizen initiative that was that started a year ago. And in a year, we managed to get 1.2 million of signature, meaning that we reached the minimum threshold and the commission will have to get to give us an answer within the next 6 months and how they will, you know, move forward with that request. Yes, we need to ban conversion therapies. It was done in France a year or two ago, so it's very recent. And we should just be telling the world that we've got the right to be who we are, to love who we want to love. And again, how come in 2025 we're still fighting for this? So I'm very proud that we managed to get the signature. I'm going to be leading a delegation of more than 10 MEPs from my group. There will be other MEPs from other groups in the Pride in Hungary in June. And I think it will be a very important moment of resistance.
I want to talk about the whole simplification agenda in the European Commission, because this affects small and medium-sized enterprises, right? So they're trying to reduce reporting requirements on SMEs in this European Commission omnibus. But you've also been critical of President Macron's call to remove duty of care requirements on multinationals. So this is a whole trend that we're seeing now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a trend that is following, simply that is following Trump. Complete deregulation, a move and trend through which they're going to kill, you know, one of the texts you were talking about, the duty of care, is one that they negotiated over the last 5 years. It's been adopted only a year ago. So democratically speaking, you know, killing a directive that has been adopted only a year ago is not yet implemented, that companies were started to get ready to implement is a bit of a problem, including on simplification. If you want to simplify, well, once you adopt laws and companies are starting to implement them, you don't stop it in the middle of the way. But most importantly, why is that directive important? You know, if you take all of the big multinational, take Nike, take Total, take Carrefour, take Vinci, take whatever companies, they make profits out of the exploitation of workers and the environment. So the principle is very simple for that directive. We're just saying that companies will have to be responsible for their subcontractors, because they cannot make profits out of this, and they will have to be careful. It's a duty of care. So they will have to prevent human rights violations. And if they are human rights violations, then they can be held responsible and pay fine for it.
And so the European Parliament is going to be looking at this again, right, before the summer. And you've proposed cooperation on this issue and related files with, for example, the socialists on something called Stop the Clock. Yeah. But you're not seeing enough interest from other political groups in blocking these kind of watering down of legislation.
Why is this watering down trend coming, and where is it coming from? It's coming from a new alliance of the right wing and the far right.
It's ad hoc, though, isn't it? To be fair, it's on certain files at times.
Well, if you look at the vote in the European Parliament, the reality is that it's happening more and more often. So it's, in reality, it's taking a shape of a new coalition. And in front of that, the socialists, they're looking at it. And to be honest, they're giving up on the Stop the Clock that you've been mentioning, which is postponing the implementation of the duty of care legislation precisely to water it down. They voted in favor. How come they voted in favor? They were on our side to negotiate that directive, and now they agree to water it down. So I think it goes beyond that directive. Mm. It's a big question now for the whole left, for the Greens, for the socialists, for all of the progressive. We are 15 minutes, it's a French expression, 15 minutes before midnight, 15 minutes before fascism wins all over Europe. Either you wake up now, either you let them win. And I'm not going to let them win. And I ask the question to our, you know, colleagues, I call them even friends, socialists, the Greens, where are you? And what will you tell your kids? Where were you when the fascism was growing up in Europe? And I think we need to be on the resistance side.
Of course, all these reporting requirements have to do with transparency, right? So if we take away reporting, we don't know whether something is being implemented. Transparency also applies to the whole question of the ethics, independent ethics body that you've been arguing for that still hasn't seen the light of day. And transparency is also a big issue at the moment because there was an EU General Court ruling that went against the European Commission, and yet we have not had the publication of President von der Leyen's text messages about the vaccine contracts. What do you make of all that?
Well, it's a scandal, let's be honest, and let's face it. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has been negotiating the contracts with Pfizer for the vaccines. The price of the vaccines has been increasing out of nowhere, probably of direct negotiations. And those SMS were not just like me sending you a nice and friendly SMS, hey, do you want to have a drink? No, it was about negotiation of public money. So she has to be held accountable for that. I think, to be honest, she should be resigning. There will be lots of other reasons for her to be resigning, to be honest, but she should be resigning because this also goes, and you're right at pointing the lack of transparency. How many scandals there's been over the last few years of the lack of transparency? You might remember the Qatargate and a number of scandals.
The so-called Huawei Gate.
The recent Huawei Gate. And the core of the issue is opacity. Yeah. Everything that is dealt, negotiated, agreed upon in the European institution is done, you know, within closed doors, with no possibility for journalists, for NGOs, for citizens to be to held accountable, the politicians. And that's a problem. We need an independent ethics body that I've been advocating, but also we need to get rid of money out of the institution. As an MEP, you should not take any single cent outside of your own money that you get as an MEP.
We only have 1 minute left, so could you just briefly give me a reaction to the following thing, which is President Macron, who signaled 2 months ago that he could recognize a Palestinian state. Is he backtracking away from that now?
It looks like it. There's at least a strong hesitation. And I remember when he has his first declaration, he said, well, there was not the right moment to recognize the state of Palestine. But when will be the right moment? We've got 100% of the 2 million Palestinians living in Gaza that are at risk of famine. We've got people dying every single day under the bombs of Israel. We've got an embargo of humanitarian aid. And in the meantime, France is still delivering, you know, weapons to Israel to commit a genocide in Gaza. I don't want to be part of the people who've closed their eyes and done nothing about the genocide that is the, that is live in Gaza. So I will be keeping fighting strongly to suspend the association agreement, the trade association agreement between Israel and the EU. I'll keep fighting for an embargo on weapons, and we need to support Gaza. We need to support the Palestinian, because what is at stake in Gaza is not only the Palestinian, is our humanity. Our humanity. And that's that humanity that we should be fighting for.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much for being my
Thanks
guest.
Thanks very much.
Manon Aubry is the co-chair of the Left Group in the European Parliament and a French MEP, of course. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Thanks for watching us.